All right. I wanted to talk to you about something. I wanted to talk to you very briefly, and then we're going to carry on with stuff the Lord wants to do. But I just want to speak to you about something I really believe is going to be important for where we're going as we move on from this place and as God takes us on this journey. Jesus said something really interesting, and it was bound to be controversial, right? Because just about everything Jesus said was. And in Mark chapter 16 and verse 17, Jesus said, "These signs will accompany those who believe in my name." So whoever believes in the name of Jesus, these signs will accompany them. These signs will be in their lives. They will come out of their lives. They will be in them. People will know them. Hello? Okay. I think it's probably going to be better if we shut that door, if you don't mind, guys. Thank you so much. It's all trial and error here this morning. Okay. Jesus said, "These signs will accompany those who believe in my name." He said, "They will drive out demons, and they will speak in new tongues." And then he goes on and says a whole lot of other things. But we just want to stop with that. Jesus said, "We will drive out demons, and we'll speak in new tongues." Now, he wouldn't have said those things if it was never going to be necessary to do them. He wouldn't have said you're going to drive out demons if demons didn't exist. And if demons didn't attach themselves to people's lives, why would he bother saying that? But he makes that statement, and then we read about his ministry, and that's what he did. Largely, that's what Jesus' ministry is about. And in fact, after Pentecost, Philip, one of the disciples, went off to Samaria, and we read that with shrieks, demons were flying out of people all the time. So it must have happened because Jesus said it was going to happen. But the key element that we want to look at is this one statement he says in Mark 16. He says, "You will speak in new tongues." So it was obviously there was something going to happen, and they probably didn't know exactly what that was going to mean when he told them. And then we read in Acts chapter 1, in verse 8, Jesus said, "You will have power when my Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses." So there was a clear correlation between all of these things. There's going to be a coming on of the Holy Spirit, and there was going to be a result of that was going to be all these things that he said was going to happen, but specifically, there would be power to be his witness. So power is going to be part of the deal, and Jesus warns them and tells them this is going to happen. This really exciting event is going to take place. Now, in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, we read, verse 3, when the Spirit came, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So the Spirit suddenly comes and several amazing things happen at once. One of them is flames start flying around on people's heads. But the second thing that happens is they start speaking in other languages. And they start speaking languages which were known languages. They were known tongues because we read on in that chapter that there were hundreds of Jews in Jerusalem at the time for the Feast of Pentecost. And they came running to find out what was going on. Obviously, they'd gone outside when this happened. And they said, "We can hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language." So they were speaking known languages of men. Now, you'll understand as we go that there are two kinds of languages that people speak. There's the languages of men and there's the language of angels. And so there are two languages that God's going to show us that takes place at that time. And so as the Holy Spirit came upon them, they all began to speak in other tongues and the Spirit enables them. Now, there was a clear correlation that this began to happen. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 10, and we read about Peter, and Peter goes into a Gentile's home for the first time, as far as we can make out. And this man's name is Cornelius, and he invites Jesus to come to his home because he wants Jesus to tell him the truth. Rather, he wants Peter to tell him how they can discover the Messiah Jesus. And so we read in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking, telling Cornelius' family these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. And the circumcised believers, that's the Jews, who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, the non-Jews. for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. So there was this, wow, suddenly this thing happens. They're starting to speak in other languages as well. And they're amazed because they thought this was only for Jews at that stage. And suddenly non-Jews are speaking in tongues. And they're saying, how can this happen? How can we see this? And so clearly they come to recognize that the Spirit is impartial. He comes to Jews and he comes to Gentiles. He comes to anybody who believes in the name of Jesus. He comes to them. And when he comes to them, there's always a manifestation. He never comes and they just sort of indifferently say, well, the Spirit came. There is a correlation between the Spirit coming and what happens. And so what happens is these guys start to speak in tongues and they baptize them and they're all set free and they're all given this amazing gift. Have a look with me at Acts chapter 19. When Paul meets a whole bunch of disciples that were disciples of John the Baptist, and he says to them, when you first believed, whose baptism did you receive? And they said, we received the baptism of John. So Paul says in verse 4, John's baptism was for the baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were all baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. So there's again this believe in Jesus, coming of the Spirit, speaking in tongues. Believe in Jesus, coming of the Spirit, manifesting the presence of the Spirit. So they start speaking in tongues, and this is all gloriously happening, and the people are amazed at what God is doing. And so what are these tongues all about? Why is this happening? I can remember I got saved in a conservative evangelical church, and we didn't have tongues in that church, and we didn't even talk about it, and we just ignored that part of the Bible and pretended it didn't exist. Or maybe we didn't said it, and it was in the apostolic era. It didn't happen after that. And then one day, I got filled with the Spirit by accident, I think. But not by God's accident, but I wasn't sure what I was looking for. And I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Then I started speaking in tongues, and I was shouting and dancing and laughing and speaking in tongues. I couldn't believe that a conservative evangelical could do this. And so I went to my pastor and I said, he's the reverend, and I said, I'm terribly excited. I thought you'd like to know this. And he said to me, don't ever talk about that in this church. You'll split the church. So I thought, hang on, this came from God. Why is it bad? You know, why is it a problem? Why should we not talk about this amazingly exciting thing that happened? So what happened is they planned a conference. It was a Presbyterian conference. So all the Presbyterians go away, but they issue an instruction at the start of the conference, the opening message from the dean from the university in Grahamstown who oversaw the whole Presbyterian minister training thing. He says, we just want to make it clear that we don't want any tongues spoken in this meeting, in this conference. We won't have tongues here. So we thought, okay, well, we're not going to say a word. And we started worshiping the Lord, and the worship was electric. You could feel God's presence. And we were seriously singing just hymns and stuff. We weren't singing modern stuff at all. And we're singing these hymns, and God's presence just grew and grew. And suddenly one hymn ended, and you couldn't help yourself. Whoa! We went off in tongues. And they were all trying to stop everybody. Stop, you'd cause trouble. You know? But it was like you couldn't help this. This was bubbling out of you like a pressure cooker. You had to do this. And that was what shot changing things for me and for that church. And God began to do an amazing thing at that time and set the people free. So what happens is we discover this amazing gift that begins to happen in our lives. Now, you know, it's really interesting. There are in the world really divided opinions. I did a little research today, and I discovered that there are an estimated 600 million Christians that speak in tongues in the world today, which means it must be quite serious that people actually do that. But what was also interesting is that a huge proportion of the Christians in the Western kind of part of the world can speak in tongues but don't. Because they think it's not actually important. Or, yeah, I've got that one. I tick that box, and I don't do that anymore. I may do it if we do it in the meeting, but beyond that, I'm probably never going to do it. And it's very interesting because how many people know what the Pentecostals were? They were sort of the sort of Jesus freaks of when we were all the conservatives. They were the ones who were really going for Jesus, and they had these tents everywhere with Jesus saves outside the tent. And he always looked and thought, weird people. And these are the guys who were coming. Fernando, come and have a seat. You are welcome. He's brought my gift. What happens is these guys all were filled with the Spirit. It came out of the Azusa Street revival. And so there was this huge release of the Spirit through these guys, and they spoke in tongues. Do you know that by the time I got filled with the Spirit, we read some research that less than 3% of Pentecostals spoke in tongues. What came out of the Spirit stopped being. And suddenly what happened is they said, yeah, we can do that, but we don't actually do it because it upsets certain people. So we don't do it in the meeting because some people get really upset if we speak in tongues or we sing in tongues. So we don't do that because we don't want to upset people. We've got to love people. Now the point is, why would Jesus have said you're going to do it? Why did he give it to us as a gift? And then why is it something that's going to upset people so you shouldn't do it? It's a bit like my pastor saying, don't tell him when you'll split the church. And so you see all these strange things that go on and that these strange things that have crept into our minds about this gift and about what God wants to do in our lives and why God gave us this gift in the first place. Because he wanted to do something in our lives that should cause us to be powerful. How? Well, let me tell you. Have a look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's have a look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to have a look at verse 10. I can tell you this. He's talking about all that. Let's go to verse 7. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So you're all given a gift of the Spirit, and it's for everybody. It's for the common good. It's for the good of the body. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determines. So the first thing is, because it's a gift, you can't earn it. You can't do anything to get a gift. Gift comes because people love you. So the first thing you understand is it's a gift. It's given by the Spirit. But the second thing you ought to understand is that it's given for everybody's good. Everybody benefits from the gifts that are given. So God says there's also a gift coming, which is the ability to speak in diverse tongues or different kinds of tongues. Now, some people can do this. I do it often, and I will find that as I'm moving in the Spirit, he will take me into different kinds of tongues, and I'll discover other languages I didn't know I had, and I'll just keep bubbling out more and more languages that I'd never thought that I could speak in, but I have one normal one that I normally speak in. I believe I speak to angels. I don't believe I speak to men, but there are people who speak to men. I was reading a thing about a bloke the other day who went to a conference, and in this conference, he had the strong urge to speak out in tongues a prophecy. So he couldn't hold it in anymore, and this worship was going on, and he suddenly stood up, and he let rip with his tongue, full blast. He'd never done it before. And the leader sent people from the platform to quiet him down. Said, you're upsetting the meeting. This is not what you should be doing in this meeting. Don't do that ever again. He felt so bad. He thought, how could I do this? I've upset these guys. I've got myself out of perspective here. The guy then got up and he preached the message. At the end of the message, a guy got up and he went to the front. And he said, guys, I want you to know something. I'm a French diplomat. That man got up and spoke perfect French. And he said everything you've just preached right now. So sometimes God gives you a known tongue, and that's the tongues of men. They see there's tongues that speak to angels and the tongues that speak to men, and you'll see that in a moment. So God gives you two different kinds of tongues for different kinds of reasons and different times, and it's very important to know the difference. Okay. So you see they're speaking in different kinds of tongues that Paul talks about, and it's an important aspect of what you do here. And then you have a look with me, please, at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, please. And he says, And in the church, God has appointed, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then workers of miracles, and those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. So now, there's two things we're talking about here. There's tongues, and there's the ability to speak in different kinds of tongues. So there's two things that operate here. Two different gifts of the same Spirit. There's tongues that Jesus said, we will speak in tongues. But there are the ability to speak in diverse tongues as well, which is a gift of the Spirit, which Paul talks about here, which is important. And so we must take hold of this. Have a look with me at Romans chapter 8, please. Now let's see what happens when we speak in these amazing things called tongues. Okay, go with me, please, to verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Who's weak in this room? Apart from me. Yeah, I need help. We do not know what we ought to pray for. No, I sometimes don't. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. What does intercede mean? He prays for us with groans, which is not possible to say in words. And he who searches our hearts, who is the Spirit, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Who are the saints? So the Spirit intercedes for moi, me. The Spirit intercedes for me in accordance with God's will. When I speak in tongues, I don't speak to anybody else. I'm now building myself up. I'm being interceded for by the Spirit. And this is why I do this. Okay. So there's this amazing correlation between these two things. Now have a look with me again, please. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And there's a point to all this. And I know most of you know it all. But I would venture that most of you don't speak in tongues every day, because most of us don't. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. So when you speak in tongues, nobody knows what you're saying. So Fernando gets up and he starts speaking in tongues. I don't know what he's saying. If he speaks in Spanish, I don't know what he says either. But if he speaks in English, I understand him. So he says, whoever speaks in tongues speaks to God, not to men. God is speaking mysteries. Nobody on earth understands him except the Holy Ghost. Okay. So then he goes on to say, but anyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Now, I looked up in a commentary on New Testament words, a Strong's commentary, and it said the best definition of edifies is build up or strengthen. So when you speak in a tongue, what are you doing? You're strengthening yourself, building yourself up. It is the most powerful thing that you and I can do. When we speak in tongues, we make ourselves strong. We get stronger and stronger the more we speak in tongues. Okay. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets so the church may be edified. What's Paul saying? Paul says, listen, I would love you all to speak in tongues, but I'd rather you all prophesied, because when you prophesy, you're going to build the whole church up. When you speak in tongues, you're only going to build yourself up. So I want you to move past this. I want you to move into the place of building yourself, building the church up. Don't stick with just building yourself up. And so this contentious issue arrives. So then he says here, he goes on about all the speaking in tongues, and if you don't understand what he's saying, what is the point of it? He says, verse 13, for this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, and I will also sing with my mind. So he's saying there, when you pray in tongues, You should go from tongues to your known language and into tongues and in your known language. And then you're using your mind as well, if you want to. Now, this morning I got up, but very early, and I thought, what am I going to do this day? Lord, it's our first Friday. What are we going to do? And I just needed something from God. And so Dot went away to this fasting conference for the weekend, and I didn't go to that. Praise God, I'm here. And I thought, I'll start praying in tongues. I prayed in tongues, and an hour passed, 2 hours passed, 3 hours passed, 4 hours passed. This is so wonderful. I didn't ever want to stop praying in tongues. This is the best thing I've ever done because I'm so strong. I'm so built up on the inside. There's fire all over me because I stayed the whole day just praying in tongues. I did nothing else. And I was thinking of that guy called Robson who wrote that book about the power of speaking in tongues. You remember this guy? And he wrote about this book where he went to go and pray for an hour. He said to the Lord, I want to pray for 8 hours every day. So he went to pray, and after half an hour, he prayed for everything he could think of praying. So he's about to give up. And the Lord said, well, why don't you try speaking in tongues? So he started praying in tongues. And he prayed in tongues, and he prayed in tongues for 8 hours. He went back the next day. After a couple of weeks of praying in tongues for 8 hours every day, he then went out and he went, the Lord said to him, there's a conference, I want you to nip down to that conference, the Christian conference. So he got down to the conference and he sat down and he was sitting there and he looked at this woman next to him and he could see through her flesh into her bones and he could see like an x-ray and he saw her hip was damaged. And he said to her, your hip's damaged. And the pastor at the front was preaching, said, shh, you know, don't upset the meeting. And he sent the kind of deacons to deal with this guy. He said, no, but this woman's, God wants to heal a leg. This I can see this leg. And done. And he just said, and the Lord said, just bang her leg. He banged her leg. And her hip clicked into place. And she was perfectly healed. Now, he'd never done that to anybody before. All he'd done is prayed in tongues. You see, what did Jesus say? He said, you will pray in tongues. What does Paul say? When you pray in tongues, what happens? You build yourself up. You strengthen yourself. You start getting to be dangerous. You're getting to a point where you begin to damage other people who don't want to believe in Jesus. You begin to have words of knowledge. Now, it was so interesting. Today, I was testing it. And I thought, I wonder if the post come yet. And I just heard the Spirit say, no, the post hasn't come yet. Don't go to the door. So I didn't go to the door. And I kept testing myself. And then suddenly, the Spirit said, the post come. And I went to the door. The post was there. I said, wow, that's amazing. You know, and then somebody phoned, and I said, Lord, who's that? And he said, this is who it is, it's Warren. I picked up the phone and said, hi, Warren. You know what I mean? You start to have words of knowledge. You just start to understand what the Spirit wants to do because you're full of the Spirit. You're filling yourself up. And so this is why it's good to do this, guys. This is why it's good to speak in tongues. If you don't, you can't be as strong. Neighbor says, oh, tongues are the most important gift. You got to love as well. Yeah, let's love. But heck, don't you want to be powerful too? Why would you not want to be powerful? Why would you just want to love? Love is great, but God's called us to walk in power. And this is the key to this power. Paul says in verse 18, I thank you that I, God, that I speak in tongues more than all of you. The guy who wrote a third of the New Testament says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. What's this saying to us? It is singly the most important thing you can do. Yeah, you can prophesy. Yes, you can heal the sick, raise the dead. But heck, start with the easy one. Let's speak in tongues. Let's speak in tongues every day. God wants this church to become a place where there's power because we speak in tongues and because the power of God works in our lives. You know, why do you think the devil goes to such great things to stop us speaking in tongues? It's the same reason why he stops us praying, because both are sources of great power. So we'll go to greater lengths to say, stop speaking in tongues because it's not good for you. It's not good for the church. And you know what? It's an amazing thing. When you speak in tongues, you said, okay, this morning was a good example. Well, I think I'm going to speak in tongues. And you start it, and you think, oh, I get distracted. Do you remember what it's like when you study for exams? You kind of think of a dozen things. You suddenly find the labels on cans fascinating to read. You know, that sort of stupid stuff. You know, you just get distracted. But it's this thing that you've got to break through to the place where there is an absence of interference. You know, it's a little bit like, you guys, I've talked about that film called Breaking the Sound Barrier, when this guy in Bristol, when they built these jets and they keep crashing them and they're killing the pilots, they put another pilot in and they take the jet up with a few modifications and they put it into the dive and they open the engines and they're screaming along and the thing explodes again and another pilot is eventually one pilot gets in there and they've made another modification and he opens the throttle and he goes and the plane is shaking and buffeting and they're saying to him over the radio, "Break out, break out, stop doing that," and he just keeps going a little bit longer. And that little bit longer took him through the sound barrier. There was this huge sonic boom, and he was flying in clear air. He'd now gone to where everybody knew there was this place called beyond the speed of sound, but nobody had ever been there. It took the perseverance of somebody to decide, I can go there. It took somebody to make the decision, this is possible, I'm going to do it. And they pushed through and they went into the zone where they could be now. In the spirit, the same zone exists. We can go there, but we've got to decide we want to go there. We've got to decide, I want to go there so badly that nothing's going to keep me this side. Nothing's going to stop me. I'm going to go there because there's a place called full of the Spirit. Edifying myself, building myself up in my most holy faith. So what I do is when I start praying in tongues, I start to pray and then I start to get distracted and I keep a pad there because suddenly I remember every single thing I should ever have remembered. And I just write down a keyword, remember that, remember, phone so-and-so, do this, pay that. And I just keep doing this and eventually I've run out of everything I should remember. And then I start getting in the clear air and start flowing with this gift. And then God begins to build us up. And God begins to strengthen you. And then you're moving in the realm called the Holy Spirit. You're no longer moving in the realm of earth. Now, what's the biggest tragedy, guys? We don't do this. We don't do this. How many people here pray for it in tongues for an hour a day? Can you see what I'm saying? We don't do it. But Paul says, I'm so glad. I thank God I pray in tongues more than all of you. Paul says, when you pray in tongues, you build yourself up in your most holy faith. I believe the key for where we got to go, individually and corporately, is you've got to allow the Spirit to take control. He wants you to operate in words of knowledge, in prophetic utterances. He wants to give you tongues and interpretations. He wants to release the power of his Spirit to heal the sick. He wants you to drive out demons out of people's lives. This is what you were called for. This is what a believer is meant to do. A believer is not meant to come to meetings. A believer is meant to do the things and come to the meeting and just tell everybody what you've been doing and go and do some more again. It's really what we're meant to be doing. Instead, we come here and hope that somebody will say something that will encourage me so I'll get through the week. Not you guys, everybody else. The point is, you were never meant to be a pushover. You were never meant to be weak. You were never meant to be anything but very powerful. You were meant to be the most awesome person in London, walking in this glorious power. You're meant to see signs and wonders. You're meant to speak to angels. What happens when you speak to angels in the language angels can understand? You're asking them to do stuff. And the Lord says, angel, I set you over Chris's life. When Chris speaks, do what he asks you to do because he needs it. So the Spirit moves in Chris's heart to pray whatever Chris needs because he's a saint. And as Chris prays, the angel says, right, I deal with it and I'll sort it out. And I'll remove it. And Chris gets strengthened. One day when you get to heaven, I promise you, you will stand there with your tongues and you'll say, Urabaka shinda rabakan. An angel will come up to you and answer, Sherabaka sienduruka. I speak the same one. We're on the same frequency. We both talk this one. It's true. But speak in the language of men and of angels. So this is the one of angels. When you get to heaven, they'll speak in your tongue. Somebody speaks in your tongue in heaven. Isn't that exciting? That's amazing. Right now, they're waiting for you to speak to them. There's all these angels standing around, and they're all waiting for their instructions. What am I to do concerning Joelle's life this morning? What am I meant to do for her today? I'm waiting. What am I meant to do when Helen has a need? What am I meant to do? What am I meant to do? He's waiting. They're waiting. Sword, hand on his sword, waiting to go, waiting to go, waiting. God's told me, stand by Helen. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. She didn't speak in tongues. So I didn't get anything. She didn't speak in my language. So I didn't get the instruction. I'm sure you do, Helen. I'm just using you because you're in my line of sight. Let's just say Joe Bloggs. So Joe Bloggs walks another day finding it really hard and tough going to follow Jesus. I don't ever see any power in my life. I don't have words of knowledge. I want to go to a Ben Hinn meeting so I can see a word, some power. Well, I'll go to Bethel, then I can see some power happen. Well, I'll go to Todd Bentley, and I can see some power. And God says, but you, I intended to be as powerful as Benny Hinn. I intended you to be as powerful as Bethel or Bill Johnson. I intended you. When I filled you with my spirit, I knew what I was doing. I knew the power I was going to put inside you. I knew it, and I was ready for you to start working in it now. He said, oh, me? There's one way to do it, only one way. You've got to pray in tongues, guys. Jesus, here we are, Jesus, we're yours, we're yours, we're yours, we're yours, we are yours, Jesus, we are filled with your spirit, we are full of the Holy Spirit, and we want to release what you've given us, we want to release the power of the Spirit. We want to become the most powerful people in London. We want to release what you've given us. You've given us great power. Now we want to do this, Jesus. Please, Jesus, hear us now. Oh, Sharabakandi. Just begin to speak in tongues. Sharabakandi, Rebishtarabakarabiyaromoko. Remo Rubakasara Barabakara Barabiarabakan, Rabarabiarabakan, Dursti Brahma, Rabiarabakundi, Rema Rabarabakashere, Berebiakar, Abakosambra, Zabrabakasar, Baki, Brukustam, Bruko, Yemarabarabakera Barabak. If you've never spoken in tongues, just start speaking. Just start speaking. Say, Jesus, I believe you've given this to me. Yabarabarebesha, I will not be robbed. I will not be robbed. I will not be robbed anymore. Yarabakesh Arabaraka Sharabarabakyando Karamarabaka Sem Rebereka So Ramarabakisharabaraka Sarabarabakan Ramarabasi Broshtibra Robrivishta Brabaka Bribiarabako Rabo Ribiarabaraka Son Dorabaka Barbiarabakara Bribiasto Ribiende Ribiende Ribiende. And you know, there's a spirit saying, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. He's manipulating you. Just walk past that spirit and say, I will. Riba rabashe, riba rabashe, rabarabakandi, ramo rabakashende, ramo rishe, rabarabasyao, ziando, rabarabasha. This is really amazing. I watched something. They took a person and they put him on a drip with stuff that would show up on x-ray and on ready imaging. And they got them they put them in a scanner, and they got their brain, and they put their head in the scanner, and they said, pray in English. And the frontal lobe, apparently, is the part of the brain which is to do with words and language. And the frontal lobe showed increased activity immediately when he prayed in English. And then they said, now transfer into tongues. And as soon as he transferred to tongues, the frontal lobe went into inactivity. What does that tell you? That tongues don't come from your frontal lobe, from your brain. Tongues come from the spirit inside you. But can I say something else to you, something that's really amazing? in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, when you have a tongue in the church, at the most you should have only three. He's not talking about what we've just done. He's talking about the things our sister there does sometimes. She sometimes brings a tongue so that somebody will have an interpretation for it. It's completely different. What we've just done is edified ourselves. We're not ministering to anybody. We're not ministering. We're just edifying ourselves. That's why it's okay to do that. But the things that Paul's talking about is when somebody speaks aloud in a tongue and then somebody else gets the interpretation and says, this is what God has said. Okay, do you understand that? So that's what he said. And then he says, at most you should only have three of those in a meeting. Well, I'd love to have one. But he says we should have at most just three in a meeting. Now, I'll tell you what. If you spend from tomorrow and you set aside 1 hour a day to pray in tongues, just 1 hour. You'll have to work to get there because you get all the distractions and all the reasons why you don't want to do it, and your body will say, I don't want to do this, and your sense of flesh will say, don't do this, it's not good. But if you push past that, after a week of praying 1 hour, just 1 hour in tongues, you will come back here next Friday and your life will be fairly changed. And you'll be ready to go for 2 or 3 hours. And you go for 5 hours. You know, the most important thing you can do. I never forget Wendy Hansen. She's at a wedding in Cyprus today. And she said when she worked in banking in the city, and she was just flat out so pressurized. And she said she just didn't. She used to get home from work at 2 o'clock in the morning and have to be back at her office at 8. And she'd be exhausted. And she just manages to get out of bed and drag herself. And she said, I didn't have time to pray. So all I did is I prayed in tongues on my way to work. And the Spirit knew what her need was and began to meet her need. And when she got to work, she was built up and ready to take on another day till 2 o'clock in the morning. And we can remember, she used to come here on a Friday night from work. She used to come for a couple of hours to the meeting and go back to work again because that was her lifestyle. But she discovered that praying in tongues sustained her, that she was able to do this. She was able to push through. I can ask the musicians to come up the front and get ready because we're going to really begin to worship. And I want you guys just to flow in the Spirit. Whatever the Spirit's going to lead you to do, I want you to do, just as the Spirit gives you, whatever the Spirit gives you. And have an expectation. Start in tongues. Just start in tongues. Just sing in tongues and wait for the Spirit to give you. Let the rest of us stand and or whatever you want to do, but just meet with God. Oh, shut up, Akas.